Reverend Stephanie Ike. Thank you so much.
Can we give Jesus praise? Come on, we can do better than that. Can we give Jesus praise? Amen, amen. I'm so blessed to be here. My family is so blessed to be here. And I am a person of honor. And so I want us to take some time to honor Pastor Poju and his lovely wife, Pastor Toyin. Can we celebrate them? Amen. Can we also honor all the staff, all the volunteers? Amen. And I have a special one. One of the protocol teams, Ngozi, has just been so lovely, and I honor you. You know, whenever I minister, I'm not just standing by myself. I'm standing with my husband. I'm standing with my family. And he is the head of my life, and so I just want to celebrate him and just honor what God is doing in him. Amen. I thank God for my pastors in the U.S., Pastor Teray Roberts, Pastor Sarah Jakes Roberts. And I just thank God for what he's also doing in this place. You know, we have been in prayer for Wafbeck ever since we knew that we would be coming. And there were just many things that the Lord began to download. And I just want you to really be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, don't just participate or don't just come to see someone you like. Come because you know the presence of the Lord is here. Because sometimes even from the most unexpected vessels, that is where your breakthrough would come from. And so all through the convention, you know, come with an expectation that God is going to do something mighty in your life. You know, the Lord began to just show me just some significance about this convention. And even as we're starting it, you know, at the top of the year, it's going to shape not only some of the messages you need for this season, but for seasons to come. And so if you grow from being a listener of the word to a doer of the word, you're going to see a transformation in your life. I love that this is called SOAR, right? Because soaring on the wings of faith. And in order to soar, there are things that you must do. So I'm excited to just share for a few minutes what God placed on my heart for today. But let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You're so good. You're so great. You're so mighty. You protect us from dangers known and unknown. Lord, for each and everyone present, may they know that the very fact that they are still breathing is a sign that you are not finished with them. But Lord, as we come in your presence, we give you our full attention. We give you our full devotion. That you would speak, O God, and I would step out of the way. And we thank you for what is taking place in this house and what will take place throughout this convention. We thank you that lives will be transformed, minds will be renewed, there will be impartations that take place. That where your children used to walk, they will begin to run. Where they used to run, they will begin to soar. And so, Heavenly Father, have your way. Let it be known that what took place in this house is that which only the hand of God can do. Heavenly Father, we worship you. We give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. You know, as I've been praying for this conference, and I know one of the symbols that is on it is that of an eagle. And the Lord began to show me this imagery of an eagle. And what I love about that is because eagles, you know, eagles are so fascinating, right? Because their ability to soar, which is literally, you know, when they spread out their wings and they use the wind to lift them up. When we look at an eagle, we just think that, okay, it's because of their wings or it's because of the wind. But it's not just that. There's something so interesting about an eagle that stood out to me, and it's its body weight. An eagle must have low body weight in order for the wings to lift it up and allow it to soar with the wind. And when the Lord was showing me this imagery of an eagle, and his word to me was, tell my people to strip off the weight. You see, there are many birds that have wings, but not every winged bird can fly. There are birds that are literally known as flightless birds because their wings are too small for their body. If their wings could speak, they would say, wow, you've gotten fat. You know, just can't lift you up like I used to. So there are these birds that cannot fly, not because they don't have wings, but their body weight is too big for the wings to carry them. And so when we look at an eagle and we admire an eagle, there are multiple features about the eagle that allows it to fly. But what was so interesting, as the Lord was showing me this imagery, I saw eagles that had taken flight and eagles that were on the land. Now this would be unusual because you've never really heard of an eagle that did not learn to soar. But then I thought about that imagery and I said, Holy Spirit, what are you showing me? And you know that Jesus says, come to him as children. So sometimes I have the imagination of a child. I began to think, if there was something like an eagle heaven, and the judge was known as the mighty eagle, and when all these eagles died, let's just say this is not real, this is imagination. Okay, we're not adding to the Bible. But when all these eagles died, there was this imagery of how they were asked, what did you do with the wind? Because you see, eagles know how to leverage what is already there, the wind. But they know how to leverage it because they have the posture for it. And I wondered, if they were all asked, what did you do with the wind? What would the eagles on ground say? What excuse would be fitting enough to explain why they never took flight? And as I was thinking about this, and I said, Lord, that would be so interesting. And then the Holy Spirit said, the same way the Lord would ask, what did you do with the Holy Spirit? See, for believers, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the wings of the Holy Spirit available to you. It's right there. But then do you have the posture in order to leverage what the Holy Spirit has made available? That when we see the Lord and he says to us, what did you do with my Holy Spirit? Would our answer be sufficient to the person, the power, and the authority of the Holy Spirit? Think about that even in your life today. You see, that question humbled me. Because when you think of who the Holy Spirit is, and the fact that I have the Holy Spirit in me, what would I say to Jesus when he looks at me and says, what have you done with my Holy Spirit while you were on the earth? It's not for us to only look at great generals of faith, because the same spirit they had is the same Holy Spirit you have. But are we willing to get into shape? You see, we're going to be talking about faith, but I just want to lay a quick foundation. Because before I can speak about faith, I have to speak about you, the person. Because faith is not like hope. Anyone can have hope. Anyone can hope about anything. You could be sitting there right now and hoping that you have a jet tomorrow. That's beautiful for you. But faith is very different. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you someone who is even postured to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying? And are you someone who the Lord can trust with his words? You see, something I've learned about the Lord, why we have to wait in his presence before he reveals words that can bring transformation in our lives, is because God does not waste words. Nothing about God is a waster. A word is, when he gives you a word, he is giving you himself. And he will not give of himself to someone who will not understand the treasure and the value of the words that he gives you. And so that is why the Lord will often have us wait in his presence, to weigh if we're really worthy of what we're seeking in Him. But you see, to be the kind of person that would even receive a word from the Lord, to be the kind of person that the Lord would entrust with His burdens, you have to be fit in the Spirit. You know, in the U.S., there is this show called My 600-Pound Life. And it's literally people 600 pounds and over. And you'll be wondering, in Nigeria, it would be almost impossible to get to that weight. By the time you're 150, an auntie will say, why are you getting so fat? You know, start thinking about your life. But this show is literally people who are just massive. And here is the thing. It's not really because of medical conditions. They just didn't know how to curb their appetites. Every appetite they had, they gave into it. I saw an episode one time, and this person is over 600 pounds and eating donuts for breakfast still. And it might be easy for us to think about that and say, wow, this is extreme. Who should ever get to that point? But this is how many of us look in the Spirit. In the Spirit, obese. You see, every time we allow sin into our life, every time we compromise our integrity, weight is added. Every time you lie, steal, cheat, weight is added. Every adulterous affair, weight is added. Everything that is outside of the will of God concerning your life, weight is added. Every delayed obedience, weight is added. And so you may be wondering, when you see someone in the physical and they look obese, but you don't realize that in the spiritual realm, the Lord is looking at you and wondering, how did you get here? How did you come to this place where you lost any form of spiritual discipline and any appetite of your flesh you gave in? The Lord is saying, strip off the weight. Let us look at what the Word of God says about this. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness. Let me just pause there. When you read Hebrews 11, you see this beautiful account of great men and women of God who lived by faith. But when the author is writing, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he's talking about a vast group of people who have been mighty in the hands of God. That even beyond the names that you know, there are names unknown. And they said they are surrounding you. They are cheering you on. They believe in you because they know that you have what it takes. You see, sometimes when we talk about holiness, we make it feel as though, you know, that was for Jesus and God just knows where I am. But any life outside of the texture of holiness is a life that is overweight. Any life that does not want to move in the standard of God's holiness is a life that is obese. So it's not that the Spirit is not available. It's not that the wings of faith and the wings of the Spirit are not available to you, but you must look a certain way for the wings to carry you. You see, even when we fast and when we pray, one of the most powerful things about fasting is not just what you do in the physical. Because in the eyes of God, He's not just watching what you do that other people see, He's watching what happens within. When you fast, there is a shedding taking place. You come before the Lord and you posture yourself in a way to say, God, here I am. I need your help. You abstain from foods that even people can see on your physical body that, are you fasting? But in the spirit, there should also be a change. In the spirit realm, there should be convictions that the Holy Spirit begins to give you and show you that you are in agreement with it. That as your physical body is shedding, your spiritual body is shedding. But if you come before God in fasting and you're crying and you're emotional, God is not reactive. God will not just look at you and react because you are emotional. He wants to know, is there really change? Is there something happening on the inside? The same thing with prayer. Prayer changes you. That when you come before God, it's not just in what you're saying. He wants to know what is happening in you. Because when you're in His presence, transformation must take place. But if you come and pray on a Wednesday night, on a Thursday night, and Friday you're back insulting somebody, you're back harboring unforgiveness, you're back doing the things that are unholy, and then you're asking God, where are you? It's almost like a mockery. So God is calling you to live a life of holiness, because anything outside of it is overweight in the spirit. And He cannot carry you in your iniquity. He cannot carry you in a life outside of His ways and His standard. Not because He's not available to you, but He's calling you to come up a little higher. He's calling you to shed. And there are people surrounding you saying, we lived it. And we know that you can too. Then the scripture says, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us. You see, what I love about this is it identifies two key things. They are both weights, but in a different way. It says stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin. You see, there is a necessary weight in our lives that on the surface level, it doesn't look like sin. On the surface level, it doesn't look like an issue. But it's causing a hindrance in your life. There are relationships in your life that are not evil, but something about that relationship has a strong hold on you. That you live more to please the person than to know what the voice of God is saying concerning you. Because of that, it's a hindrance. It's an unnecessary weight in your life. The Lord began to show me that there are things that you're going to encounter. There are circumstances He's going to put you in to reveal to you what is the unnecessary weight in your heart so that you can bring it before His presence. You know, we have been around since Christmas. We went to the East. And it was my first time visiting my father's homeland since he was murdered. Now, if any of you know my testimony, my father was murdered. He was a planned assassination by my uncle. And when I encountered the Lord at 9, He really dealt with my heart. He showed me the way of forgiveness. But you see, when we walk with God, it's not just a one-time thing. Apostle Paul talks about dying daily. But I was so confident in my heart that I have forgiven everything connected to my father's death until I went home. And we go home. I see his grave for the first time. I started meeting people who knew him. And there was a question that they kept asking. Over and over again, I felt like Peter, when the enemy had planned people carefully to ask him if he knew Jesus so that he would deny him. All these people kept asking me, do you remember me? And there was an anger that started to stir up. And at a point I said, you know, in the beginning, no, I don't remember you. And they would explain, they're like, you don't remember me? And in my head, I'm like, wow. Calm down, Stephanie. Calm down. And over and over again. And then when the last time I heard the question, it was like God literally orchestrated it for something to come out of my heart. And a man comes to me and he looks at me and he says, do you remember me? And now I had enough. I said, I think I was 8 months. Do you think I would remember you? Then the man starts to tell me all these things where he's like, you know, how come we haven't done this and how close he was with my dad. And I looked at him and I said, so where were you after he died? And he was taken back because he was not expecting that question. And it was not a question I asked smiling or laughing. I was just looking at him like, please never ask me this question again. And then my husband so nicely asked me, how is your heart? He says, is there anything you notice God is revealing to you in your heart? I said, yes, anger. Hey, there's anger. There's a lot of anger in there. Wait. Wait. There's situations that God will bring you into because you thought that you had overcome certain things. But because he wants you to soar in this season of your life, he says you have to look at it in the face and let it go. There are things that I will show you and it's not for you. You see, I could feel justified by my anger. I could actually pray in the Holy Ghost with that anger. But it is unnecessary weight that the Lord says, if you keep this, you will not soar. You have to know. You see, the heart of man is hidden from man. You don't know what is in your heart until the Lord allows situations and circumstances to reveal it to you. There are times that you may just feel like, wow, I am God's best. And then a situation happens and the Lord begins to expose what is in there that he needs to deal with. When I had to go before the Lord, I had to acknowledge that I was hurt. I had to acknowledge that all these people that showed up, where were they? I had to acknowledge that. And then I had to accept God's wisdom. I had to accept that there are things that you don't always need the answers for. God just needs to heal your heart. There's some things that God does not need to explain to you because he just wants to work on your heart. He says you may never even have the answers because even if you got them, there's nothing you could do with it. But acknowledge that where you are right now is nothing but by the grace of God. And let that be the thing that keeps your conversations elevated. Stop dwelling in the past. Stop dwelling in what people should have, could have, would have done. We're here now. The Lord showed me it's not about where they were. Acknowledge that they're present today. There's some of you and there are things that you're still holding unforgiveness and bitterness about. And maybe those people have still never showed up, but guess who is still showing up? The Lord on your behalf. Acknowledge that you have a helper. Acknowledge that you are surrounded. And let go of the weight, the unnecessary weight. There are women and men in this place and you're still holding on from the pain of a broken relationship. Acknowledge how you participated. Acknowledge that you were also in the relationship year 5 and no marriage and then they left. Acknowledge that you chose to stay for that long. And acknowledge that you have a God who is a redeemer of time. Stop holding on to unnecessary weight. There are things people must have done to you. Acknowledge that you have a Jesus who is a healer. That even though that what the enemy planned for evil, acknowledge you have a God who knows how to turn it around for good. You see, because what the enemy wants to do, it's not always to keep you with the sin that you know. No, it is with the weight that you carry. That is unnecessary and that you could actually give reason to why you should hold on to it. When you talk about it to people of faith, they encourage you in your bitterness. Because it sounds right. Of course we should hate that person. Of course we should dislike him or her. But you know what you're doing to yourself? Carrying unnecessary weight. And there are things that God will be showing you in this time. Not to take you back to a place of pain and sadness. It's not to bring you back into a place of trauma. But it's so that you acknowledge there is still something in your heart that is keeping you bound. Release it before God so that you can release the unnecessary weight. And then the Bible talks about and the sin. When it comes to sin, we don't need anyone to tell us what that sin is. But there's something interesting about this scripture, because when it says, which so easily and cleverly entangles us, that word for entangles us, easily and cleverly entangles us, you know, for some reason, the Holy Spirit just kept highlighting that word, because on a surface value, I mean, it means what it means. But when I began to study, it was an ancient Greek word that actually translates to four meanings. One is easily avoided, admired, ensnaring, or dangerous. And as I began to ask the Lord, what is He showing me? He says that sometimes people trip up in sin, because when something seems easily avoided, you think that you are the master over your life. There are some things that you will tell yourself, I can never do that. And because you say you can never do that, you have no boundaries around your life. You have no covenants around your life to sustain you in a place where you can never do that. When I was a single minister, I made a covenant with God, because our church is young, eligible bachelors all around the church. And I was a young female. When people came up for prayer, I'm going to be honest, I'm like, okay, God, is that my husband? You know? And if you want the person to be a husband, you pray with them extra long. Not that you chose to do that, but there is something in you the enemy starts to manipulate. And so there are things that, and in my mind, I'm like, I would never do that. But what sustained me was, then I made a covenant with God. I said, I will never date anyone that comes to this church. Now, this is not theology. This was me personally. Because I needed to create boundaries for myself so that it would keep me in the place where God has me. I knew that as a woman, I was too vulnerable. Because many would come to me and say, hey, God said I'm your husband. And they were looking, all right. But I knew that if the enemy wanted to get me somewhere, that would be the place. So I said, you know what, Lord? Let me protect myself. Let me not think too highly of myself that I cause myself to trip. You see, you have to be a person who is intentional with your life. You have to be diligent with your life. If you're married in this place, there's some things you just don't do, not because it is a weakness to you, but it is a boundary you create around yourself. That even though I believe in my nature, I am strong against this, but there are things you create a boundary so that in the day of weakness, you don't fall. You don't just look at things and say, oh, I would never do that. And because of that, you just give in. You have nothing regulates your life. You can't be a minister and then you're having a meeting with someone of the opposite sex by yourself at 2 a.m. And you say, oh, I'm just, no, that would never be the case. Let me go pray for her. You need some boundaries. Because you don't know that the enemy knows that that is an available opportunity, that at the right time, oh, not even the right, at the wrong time, at the wrong moment. Never think too highly of yourself, because what keeps us is the Lord. And when we create certain boundaries, it is in our humility to say, God, I need you. So that word also means admired. There is a sin that is admired, but it's still sin. There are times I will meet people, especially in Hollywood. They know the Lord, they've encountered Jesus. But there's a lot of dark and demonic things that happen in Hollywood. And there are people that would give in to things. And you wonder, how did you give in to this? Because they admired a lifestyle. They admired, you see, I remember even ministering in a church. And we did an altar call. And we talked about, you know what, if you're in this house, and how you're giving your tithes and offerings to this place, it's through prostitution. You need to repent. So many people came down. Now, isn't it ironic? You're in the house of the Lord. But you are still giving your body away for money. Why? The sin that is admired. There's something you admire about people who do that. You want a quick way to wealth. You want a quick way to finances, that you give your body and to do things that are detestable to the Lord. It is still sin. It is still sin. And it will not create any good fruit in your life. Then there's the sin that is ensnaring. The sin that the enemy wants to make sure you step into, because what is connected to it is demonic oppression and torment. There's some things you feel like, I would just do it one time. And after that one time, you found yourself in bondage. And one of the things the Lord showed me is that through this convention, there is going to be deliverance. But you have to be a person, not just to be delivered today and go back to your vomit tomorrow. You have to truly desire the things of God and strip off the weight. And lastly, there is the sin that is dangerous. There are things that you can dabble into that you feel as though it's not that big of a deal, but it gives Satan legal rights to bring destruction into your life. When the Lord is calling you to a life of holiness, a life of stripping off the weight, it is for your benefit. Because the enemy is waiting for the day that you will step into his kingdom so that he can have legal rights to reach your life. He can have legal rights to torment you. But if you read the scripture after this, what is the solution? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Stand with me. We're going to pray. The solution that you need in your life is to look at Jesus. It's not to look at people. It's not to look at what is happening in the world. It's to look at Jesus. You see, there are times when the Lord will tell me to do something and I will delay in obedience. And what I realized, because then I'm like, God, I'm so sorry. I will never do this again. And one day the Holy Spirit said, you know not to do this, but you still did it. The problem is not you not doing it again. You need to look at Jesus. Because when you see him, when you stare at him, when you understand what he did for you on the cross, when you understand the magnitude of what you have, when you have relationship with the God of this universe and the God of all creation, you would know that it is worthy of you to be a living sacrifice unto him. There are things that you would begin to understand that this is my reasonable, the Bible calls it your reasonable service. It's common sense to be a living sacrifice. And so what I want to encourage you, look at him. When you're reading your word, look at Jesus. When you're praying, don't just pray for things. Pray to see the Lord. Because when you see him, everything begins to change. Your desire is to conform to his image, not to the things of the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Jesus, we love you. And I pray that in the hearts of your sons and daughters, that you, Holy Spirit, will finish where this word stopped. That you would begin to reveal to them the unnecessary weight and the sin that has been tripping them off. You would reveal to them where they need to shed in order to soar. And so, Lord, have your way. Teach us how to look to you in all things and in all ways. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen.